Welcome everyone to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
And I'm BJ.
And I don't know why I was so confused about my name there for a second, but for some reason I spaced on it.
It's just the day you're having.
It's been a day.
It's like, am I Austin today?
It's been a day. I'm having a rough day, but it's okay. I'm smiling through the pain.
I feel like that.
You know that meme of like the old guy who's shrugging and it's like, guess I'll die now.
Guess I'll die. Yeah, guess I'll just die. Yeah, that's you.
That's me today.
Yeah. And it's not even the this is fine and fire with the dog and everything. You move straight into guess I'll just die.
Yeah. So anyway, this week we're going to be talking about good versus evil. But also kind of like in Dragon Quest, I want you to do that every time we say the word evil. But Dragon Quest, you know, portrays these somewhat differently than other games in some kind of interesting ways. And also it kind of going back to Shelby, one of our newest patrons. We wanted to do more things on symbolism and symbols in Dragon Quest too. So this kind of relates to that because a lot of times the Dragon Quest good versus evil. Everyone's so sick of us doing that already.
But
I love it.
They've got another like 45 minutes of it. Of just, like the end of the episode. This is going to be like an hour and a half long episode. Like the first 15 minutes are the actual content. The last like hour and 15 minutes are going to be just you having edited over and over and over again.
Yeah. So anyway, but we wanted to kind of turn... focus back on symbolism and things like that in the Dragon Quest series, and this seemed kind of like a good topic to do that on. Now, Dragon Quest, one thing that I think is interesting about DQ is that sometimes the like symbolism that's in DQ is like actual literal symbols.
Yes.
like the you know, on the Luminary's hand, and it's similar to the thing you see on Bishop Lodja in the movie. And you have the similar symbol is used in Dragon Quest 7.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see, like, it's a very similar symbol. And you usually see that, usually, I guess, the good and the bad symbols are, like, used on only good or bad characters. Whereas with this, it's kind of like they toy with it, you know, where it's like, and it's almost like I don't understand why Bishop Lodja, if I'm being completely honest, has that. Because the 7 and 11 connection makes sense because, you know, he's the Luminary and everything. He's like the Chosen One. So it kind of ties back into the Chosen One, you know, in DQ7. So it's like, hey, this is how we signify the Chosen One. But then you throw in Bishop Lodja in the... And I know that that's a movie. But still, it's like, well, but why?
I mean, it could... you know, try to indicate that he started as one of the, you know, tried to do good at first and then was corrupted and, you know, still wears the trappings of goodness. And that kind of thing is used pretty often in different kinds of fiction where they look with the outer trappings of it, where they're wearing the, where they're wearing the symbols and the clothes, but their actions are something completely different and antithetical to that.
Yeah, and it's kind of very similar to how they toy with like clothing. Dragon Quest does this with clothing as well. You've brought this up a couple of different times on the podcast, but like with the Luminary's look, and how you said that, you know, you remember back when that was first revealed about people speculating, like, hey, this is a bad guy, or he's like related to Dragon Lord because of his color scheme. And, you know, Bishop Lodja kind of has that similar color scheme. Maybe Bishop Lodja is the Luminary.
Dun, dun, dun.
I did not expect to put on our tinfoil hats for this episode, but here it's happened.
Definitely a tinfoil hat episode.
Yeah, that's the thing about tinfoil hats. You just never know when one's going to drop on your head. I felt like Forrest Gump imparting some wisdom on a bitch just now.
Everybody goes a little crazy every once in a while, kids.
And so, what is that from?
Is it from something?
Yeah. Scream, the first Scream movie. That's what Billy Loomis says, right?
When he's talking
to Sid, he's like, everybody goes a little crazy sometimes, Sid. Yeah, instead of kids, it's Sid. Like, you were like... You were like dead on for that.
Apparently, I have internalized Scream since like 1999. Apparently, it just lives rent free in my head, and I didn't know it.
Yeah, so good. I love the Scream movies.
Oh, it's great.
Anyway, so you know that, but Dragon Quest does that with kind of with costumes too. And the Luminary, I think, for 11 is a prime example of that, just because it was like that was a thing, you know. And the colors traditionally, that like purple green combo. Is like, that's how you know you got a bad guy.
Yeah. I mean, I did the same thing in my novel. Like, that was the color scheme I used for the bad guy. Like, was purple and green. Like, that was just always what I associated with being cool villain colors. And it's also my favorite color pairing. So, I mean, maybe I'm evil.
Yeah, maybe you are. You are really good at that noise.
It's like a weird Wario and Waluigi combination that just turns into something weird.
It is. You know, Waluigi's purple too. Maybe that
he is.
Maybe there's something to that.
Dude, purple is my favorite color.
Yeah, purple is your signature color.
It is.
I feel like Julia Roberts in Steel Magnolias.
I've never seen it.
This is a tangent, and I'm sorry because we keep going off on tangents already, but I think it's a funny story. So in that movie, Julia Roberts, you know, they're all like Southern ladies or whatever.
Yeah.
And Julia Roberts in that movie, when they're at the hair salon or whatever, I don't know. I've seen it like once. But anyway, she says something like, pink is my signature color. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
Grace like loves Steel Magnolias, okay? And she loved it when she was a little kid. And so it's really funny because we found not long after we first got married, you know how you like move in stuff from like your house when you were a kid and their house when they were a kid into like, you know, your new place?
Yeah.
And so it's like a good time around the time you get married and are moving in together where you like see like stuff from the other person's childhood, because you know a lot of times your parents like are like, get this out of my house.
Yep.
And anyway, but she had this thing where it was like, talk about yourself from like first grade, I think.
Yeah,
just to write like a haiku or something. I think it was like, it was a little bit older than that, maybe like third grade, but definitely still pretty young, where it was like, write a haiku. And anyway, or a poem, something. Anyway, but it ended with, pink is my signature color. And I think it's hilarious.
That's awesome.
That my wife at like 8 years old was just quoting Steel Magnolias in poetry for her class at school.
Like, I think that's kind of like the perfect way to describe Grace too.
But the thing is she doesn't really like pink. Like now, like, yeah, I mean,
No. Purple, yeah. Like, yeah. Just the idea of being the kind of person who would quote Steel Magnolias at eight.
When you're like, a weirdo, that's the word.
Yeah,
you're
that's like, just Grace. Yeah, it's like, that doesn't surprise me even a little bit. I love how weird Grace is.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's my tangent for today. Hopefully the only one for now. Like, that's kind of an interesting thing. I think the biggest thing that Dragon Quest, I don't want this to come across as a complaint, but I feel like a lot of times with Dragon Quest games, there's a very clear line between good and evil that doesn't always exist in RPGs and not just Western RPGs. Like that's traditionally a big thing in Western culture anyway, for having like that moral gray area. But I mean, right. You see it plenty in JRPGs as well. Like, okay, a bad guy who, you know, you understand why they're doing this, or like there's those characters who are like neither good nor bad. And I think it's something that Dragon Quest has improved upon, especially in later entries. Mm-hmm. But still, I feel like even in 11, it's like with Mordiggin and stuff, it's like there's a very clear cut, like, okay, this is the bad guy. He's got to be taken down. He's the bad guy because he's the bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like they're the evil person because you got to have an evil person.
And that never sits great with me in terms of long-term, I don't even say long-term viability, but making it memorable and making me something to return back to. Like if I don't sympathize with the villain and really, or even feel like, oh, you're terrible, I need to fix this, like I need to destroy you kind of thing, I don't really latch onto it. So the evil for evil's sake just comes across as so cartoony that it makes it hard for me to really even care about going through and doing that.
I don't know, because there's something
unless it's so, parody.
Yeah, there's something like that's kind of like back in 2018 when I was first playing Dragon Quest XI. Like I definitely remember that being one of the like very few negatives I texted you about when I was playing 11. Yeah. I was like, the bad guy's just not very good. Like it's just kind of like, hey, evil wizard to take down.
And yeah.
Even spoilers, I guess, for Dragon Quest XI. So heads up, spoilers. But even like when you find out, you know, like who Mortigan really was and everything, and like with him betraying Erdwin and all of that, it's just like, I don't know. It's just like, okay, cool. Well, he still just got corrupted by, you know, this even more supreme evil being.
Yeah.
So it's still not like a good backstory that has ever quite gelled perfectly with me. And right. Then when you get into like the true final boss or whatever with Kalasmos, it's just kind of like, okay, cool. Yeah. There's just this evil thing. And it's kind of fun. It's
kind of cool looking.
Yeah. And it's neat because, you know, the whole game starts off with like the black Tockle, the black spirit of lost time, you know, walking through with like Erdwin's lantern inside of it. Like it's very cleverly done. It's really cool that, you know, it's that much of a slow burn. But at the same time, it's just like, I much prefer the Dragon Quest villains. Like, I think, like, Corvus in 9, I think, is a very good...
Yeah, he's great.
Is a very good villain. Yeah, because it's like, yes, I get it. This is basically just Lucifer, but...
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it's an interesting story, and maybe that's why, you know, that's been, like, such a pervasive thing in culture and religion for so long, is because it's something that we all kind of identify with, mm-hmm. is that, you know, you can kind of see why... how that would take somebody to be a bad guy, you know? And with Corvus especially, it's like, okay, like falling in love is something that, you know, most people can identify with. And then having that love taken away is something that kind of makes all of us go, you know, and gasp, because that's like, you know, a lot of people's greatest fear probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's very much, you know, on my mind when, you know, anything remotely bad could happen.
Even when you're like fighting him and everything, it's kind of like, it's okay, I understand you, dude, I'm gonna take you down because I don't want the world to end, but I get where you're coming from.
yeah I mean, that's kind of how I am. That's the kind of villain that I really like. It's like, I have to stop you, but if I were in your place, I'd be doing the same thing. That kind of thing.
Yeah. And
which is why, like, the new Joker movie, like, as much as I like it, I don't relate to it at all. But, like, I actually really liked the new Joker movie. Like, I did not think I was going to, because, like, watching everything, I was like, wow, this doesn't even seem, like, fun to watch. And I was wrong. Like, I really did enjoy it a lot more than I thought, but it wasn't a relatable villain to me, so it never stuck. Like, I've seen it, and I'm fine not seeing it again. Where, like, the Dark Knight and the Joker there, it's like, yeah, if I was crazy, I'd be doing weird stuff like this.
Yeah.
Like, if I was real crazy, I'd probably do, like...
I started to say if.
like, okay, so I realize that I'm on, like bipolar medicine, and I get it, but, during my manic phases, it's not, like, stabbing people in the eye with pencils as a card trick.
You've never asked me, you've never been like, hey, Austin, want to see a pencil disappear? That is true.
Yeah. I mean, now, I'm not saying it won't ever happen, but right now... but really, that's the kind of villain, if I can't relate to them, I don't generally care.
Yeah.
The only exception to that is stories that deal with ancient, like, cosmic evils. Like, if you've been taken over by, like, some evil that's been around from the beginning of time, I'm, like, all about it. I just didn't feel Kalasmos. Like, it wasn't part of this story long enough for me to really get, like, this elder god vibe.
It wasn't Lovecraftian enough for you?
It wasn't. It wasn't like Lovecraftian style, like just elder gods. I love.
Yeah. The other Dragon Quest bad guy, other than Corvus, that I think is handled really well is Sorrow.
Yeah.
I feel like has a really good connection there. And And his story is very similar to Corvus's. You know, it's like, okay, he fell in love. This time it's a little elf girl. But TLDR, I guess, is he falls in love with an elf girl. The humans are mean to the elf girl and make her cry little ruby tears. And he locks her away in a tower with other little monsters. And then get super depressed and is like, hey, if humanity is really this mean, then it's worth destroying. And I'm going to just murder everyone in this planet. And which I guess is some jumps in logic.
Yes.
But still, it's kind of a similar story to Corvus, where it's like, I can relate to that. No one's ever, you know, bullied my wife to try to make rubies pop out of her eyes. Knock on wood. But
hey, I'm coming down there next week. You just wait.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a story that you can relate to. Bishop Lodja in DQ5 was a really, really good villain, I felt like. Like, you encountered him multiple times, and that was kind of cool, because a lot of times in Dragon Quest games, and I think this is maybe the root of the problem for evil characters in Dragon Quest games, is so often they're saved to the very end. You never really encounter them or see anything about them until the very end. And with Dragon Quest V, you know, Bishop Lodja, you encounter just quite a few times. He like really messes up your family. And so there's definitely this drive there, but then the actual, you know, boss mastermind or whatever is Nimzo. And it's just like Nimzo, he's kind of like Dragon Lord in the first game, you know, he's just kind of behind the scenes. And then it's like, okay, cool, I'm going to defeat you now. Or, and you know, eights, you know, are very similar mm-hmm. as well. Whereas eight, you know, with like, I get with eight, I know spoilers, but with eights, you know, I get it that like, you know, Rapthorn is mm-hmm. like Dalmagus. But at the same time, it's like Dalmagus made such a more compelling villain, you know, he's yeah. like this creepy evil Joker. And then it's just like, hey, but look, it's really Rapthorn is the bad guy. And then you just have this like really, like he looks like a purple Guy Fieri.
And, kind of, yeah.
And purple Guy Fieri just does not make a very compelling villain to me.
However, it would make a very compelling reality show when I would watch it. Like
purple Guy
purple
Fieri.
Diners, Dive-Ins, and Drives. Like Dives, Drive-In, Diners, Dive. That one, the Triple yeah. D.
I
would watch Purple Guy Fieri and yeah. The Triple D.
Yeah.
I like Guy Fieri.
I like him fine too. I don't know anything about him. Don't really ever watch cooking shows or anything like that. But I mean, yeah. But Rapthorn does look like him. Like, I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just like legitimate. Like that. Like they kind of look alike. Like I think it's the facial hair more than anything. Really, like the hair and the facial hair, especially yeah. Guy Fieri back in like his like frosted tip spiky hair days. I don't know if yeah. he still looks like that, but you know,
I think
Rapthorn,
he does.
Rapthorn kind of has the spriggy like horns that kind of look like spiky hair uh-huh. from like the 90s, and they both have like the goatee you know, like look, the almost like the late 90s, you know, like Smash Mouth like pop star guy yeah. kind of look,
like
know?
My senior pictures and like senior year of high school and first year of college.
Yeah, like pretty much.
You didn't know me then. Yeah, but yeah, that.
Pretty much every dude when they're like a senior in high school, because the only facial hair they can really grow is like above their lip and like on their chin.
Oh yeah, so like, I know. I couldn't.
Like, we all grow this like weird like Civil War reenactor.
I never did because like I couldn't grow around my mouth. I would grow like the U-shaped neck beard, but I couldn't get it around. Like I couldn't get the goatee part to work, so I just shaved clean all the time.
Yeah,
that was one.
I'm not judging. I'll even share an embarrassing story about myself. So people who, you know, are like, hey, Austin, why are you making fun of me? Like, I'm making fun of myself here, too. I also had that kind of look there for a little while. But the first facial hair that came in for me was like sideburns, like mutton chops.
Yeah.
Couple areas of my facial hair. And this was like early 2000s. So it was around the time, like, you know, what's his name? The front man for Fall Out Boy, Sugar We're Going Down in the music video, Patrick Stump. They look really ugly, but he had like the sideburns, mutton chops look.
Yeah.
And that was like a really big thing. Like it was kind of making a comeback for a little while in the early 2000s.
Oh, I never liked that look.
And I totally had that for like a year in high school.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and so I can't. I'm not one to talk. I mean, again, we all do it. It's because
oh yeah,
facial hair for the first time.
Thing.
So we're like, check it out. Yeah, and so anyway, that's Rapthorn though. It's like he just started growing facial hair, and he's like, look at me. I'm evil. I'm yeah. purple. I'm a man now.
manly man.
Yeah, and that's kind of Rapthorn. For good guys though, I don't want to completely like one side this episode into evil. Thank you. For good guys though, a lot of times Dragon Quest games, it's very much that it leans very heavily into chosen one. You're the chosen one. In Dragon Quest One, hey, guess what? You're the chosen one. You're going to, you know, rescue the princess and defeat the Dragon Lord. In Dragon Quest Two, you're the descendants of the chosen one who are now chosen ones yourselves. And yep. In Dragon Quest III, you're the chosen one, the most chosen of all the chosen ones.
You're the choseniest chosen one, whoever chose the chosen.
Yeah. And then in Dragon Quest IV, you're literally called the chosen. That's just yeah. what they call you. They drop all pretense. They're like, you're just the chosen. And then you have Dragon Quest V, and this is where Dragon Quest really like shakes things up here, is you have Dragon Quest V where you're playing as this hero for like so long, and then it's kind of like, uh-oh, surprise, you're not the chosen one. And I think that's one of the really innovative things that Dragon Quest V did, but it's also like a pretty big shock, especially coming from like a JRPG perspective. It's like,
yeah.
you play as the chosen one. Like in a video game, your character is the chosen one. Like you just know going in that you're the chosen one. Like it's right. just... Like you don't
that's,
even have
that's
to
the
say
thing.
It. Yeah, it's like you're the chosen one. And so it really shakes that up, and it's kind of like a pretty big twist, especially for that time. And even now if you're playing it for the first time, it's like, "Oh, you're not the chosen one." It ends up being your descendant, your kid. And so it's like it's really cool how that they just kind of took that and turned it on its head, where it's like you expect for it to be you, but it's kind of nice, you know, like you, it's the only game or really any media I can think of where it's like you're the main character is the dad of the chosen one. Like that's not something that any kind yeah. of media really explores, you know, like Darth Vader didn't have a dad.
No.
So it
wasn't didn't they kind of get into how the Emperor basically manipulated the Force into Anakin.
They did that in the comics, yeah, in the Disney new canon.
Yeah.
it got really weird, but yeah.
Where he's kind of the Emperor's son. Like, yeah, it got all weird. Like,
yeah. But still, there's not a Star Wars movie that's all about, like, being Anakin's dad. That's what it yeah. would be called. Being Anakin's dad. It's a sitcom.
I was about to say, that's a sitcom. I can yeah. see a logo,
he's
like,
gonna
popping
grow
up
to murder people, but right now I'm just Anakin's dad.
I think yeah. we should just end right there. Like, that's...
Yeah, but...
We can't get higher than that.
But yeah, but Dragon Quest V, you know, it does that. And I really can't. If you're listening to this episode and you can think of something, give us a shout, because I legitimately cannot think of any other story, you know, TV show, movie, anything like that, that where that's the case. You know, like sometimes if a movie or a property is really like popular, you know, there's like sequels and prequels where like you see them as kids or something like that. But it's just like, and I guess you could argue that the Star Wars prequels are, you know, all about Luke's dad.
Yeah.
So I guess there's the argument there, but either
It's not about raising the chosen one. It's not about seeing the day to day of it.
Yeah, it's not, and like
it's
taking
leading
down,
up to his birth
and taking down the bad guy with your kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, good job, kid. Who's the chosen one?
Yeah, I mean, you. It's not Anakin taking Luke to the dentist. It's.
That's the pilot episode.
It is. That's this follow up series though. Like that's first episode of being Anakin's dad is.
Yeah, it's like Anakin takes Luke to the dentist. Meanwhile, Grandpa Skywalker is stuck at home trying to figure out how Netflix works.
Why is this just turned into Everybody Loves Raymond in my mind? Like that's I see.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm picturing here, too. It's just like a family sitcom there.
When you say Grandpa Skywalker, I saw Raymond's dad.
Yeah, Peter Boyle is just like
Peter Boyle.
There,
thank you. I
angrily pressing the remote, like, "What's Netflix?"
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And so five, you know, kind of turns that on its head. But then six, really, we're just going back to the chosen one. Seven, we're really going back to the chosen one. Eight, we're really going back to the chosen one. Nine, chosen one. 10, chosen one. 11. Do you know where I'm going with this? Because it's chosen one.
Yeah. I was missing the pattern, but I got it now.
Yeah, and so, and it's admittedly one of those things that you can't really fault Dragon Quest for. I mean, it's like, that's just the thing, you know? You play as the chosen right. one. Like sometimes there might be two chosen ones, like in Tales of Arise, you know, it's kind of like there is a chosen one archetype there, but it's like without the other character, you like there's two halves of a whole kind of thing. And that's one thing that I've really noticed a lot in JRPGs lately, and even with Dragon Quest Treasures coming out soon to a certain extent, where a lot of games now are toying around with like the yin and yang kind of chosen hero, where you have a male and female lead, where it's like one has to be done with the other, and you see that in Xenoblade Chronicles 3. There's a male and female really protagonist in there with Mio and Noah, and Scarlet Nexus was like that. Then you have, you know, Eric and Mia for Dragon Quest Treasures. Star Ocean 6 looks to be doing a similar thing later this year. And I think that thing is really cool. Like, that's kind of a more recent JRPG trend, but one I really like. Like, I like...
Yeah, I do too.
I like there being two, you know, protagonists here, where it's like one can't be wholly great without the other. And, like, that's one that I hope we keep seeing. I'm sure, like anything, it's going to get tiring eventually, but right now it's like a trope that I'm really enjoying seeing in a lot of video games right now.
Yeah, I like the dual protagonist, and you know, not to really spoil anything in Xenoblade 3, but they came together sooner than I expected. I thought the stories were going to be kind of convergent, but lasting through a lot of the game. Like, you were seeing two halves of, because like on the back of it was talking about these two factions and blah, 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 all that. And so I thought that was going to be how the story was going to play out. And it wasn't. Like, they came together really early on. So I was actually taken by surprise on that.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess with Dragon Quest XII, we'll have to see, because I know you and I have both been hopeful that we get like a canon female protagonist instead of just one that's kind of like an option, but not canon and not on like any promotional materials really. But I could also see that being a route for 12, you know, where there's like dual protagonists like that. Yeah. And that would be... Yuji Horii said he was going to surprise us, and everybody's thinking it's because of a darker tone or more action oriented, you know, combat or whatever, you know, stuff that has gotten hinted at so far. Yeah. But, you know, also having two protagonists would be a pretty big shakeup to the Dragon Quest series.
Yeah, because even though you have the party from something like two, and you still don't have, there's still a hero, a main.
You're still Minhal at the beginning. Yeah. And you have to go around and find everybody. And then in three, you know, you just have to choose. Do you want to be like man or lady Erdrick? Like, you have to pick one. And so I think that could be cool.
Yep, I think so too.
That's cool. I'm gonna end it here before you bring everybody down with a downer like you do sometimes.
Yeah, usually I do. Yeah, because I'm evil.
Thank you guys for listening to this week's episode though. This was a fun one. And if you want to talk to us on Twitter, you can find us at Dragon Quest FM. If you want to talk to me individually, I'm on Twitter at Dragon Questin.
And I am on Twitter individually as at Professor Beej. And if you want to talk to us on Discord, you can find that at discord.geektogeekmedia.com.
Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.